My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Come on.
Sick of being broke, living paycheck to paycheck? Sick of sleepwalking through your days at a job where you're not engaged? Check out Money Alignment Academy. It can help you get on track financially and become engaged in your work. The time is now. MoneyAlignmentAcademy.com. Bill, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Excellent. I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Money Savage Engage. This is George Grumbacher. Bill Catlett is the managing partner of Contented Cow Partners. He is a coach. He is a speaker. He is an author, amongst many, many other things. I'm excited to have you on. Bill, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Okay. My personal life is pretty simple and straightforward. I mean, some, my wife included, might call it boring, but born and raised in Appalachia. I went to school at the U. And now there's a system shot for you. A teenage kid goes from the backwoods of West Virginia to Miami. Gets introduced to beaches, babes, and booze all in the first week. Somehow I survived and even graduated with a business degree. Today, I proudly answer to Hey Boomer. I've got a wife of 47 years. We've got two adult offspring that we're immensely proud of, and a bunch of grandkids.
Well, congratulations on all
home,
that.
Thanks. It's, you know, and I wouldn't have made it without her. In fact, she coughed up the last $800 for me to pay tuition at the University of Miami when I just, you know, trying to be a graduating senior, didn't have the money. So it's worked for a long time. Outside the home, I've got a serious addiction to fly fishing that, when it gets dead, which is not often enough, but that happens in the Florida Keys, somewhere else in the Gulf of Mexico, or the mountains of Utah. On a more serious note, I'm a board member and chief ankle biter for the National Foundation for Transplants. And if you'll tolerate a 20-second advert here, our nation has remarkably skilled transplant docs and teams. But unlike with cancer, we've solved the riddle with transplants. But sadly, 20 Americans die daily awaiting a transplant, either due to a shortage of organs or a shortage of money to pay for the cost of travel to and from the transplant site, anti-rejection meds, which they have to take for life, and stuff like that. And in other words, these deaths are totally preventable. So let's start with one thing every one of us can do. If we would accept an organ donation, if something, God forbid, happened to us, car wreck, bad genes, whatever, why wouldn't we sign up to be an organ donor when our time is up? I mean, we can't take them with us. And if we would all do that, the majority of this problem goes away. End of rant. Professionally, as you mentioned, I'm a coach, speaker, business author, and board member. And I focus specifically on helping leaders level up and compete via better leadership skills and habits. We work chiefly in labor-intensive industries like healthcare, financial services, hospitality. Our trade craft, as you mentioned, is coaching, speaking, books, and seminars. And I guess, if anything, we're perhaps best known for our first book entitled Contented Cows Give Better Milk. We wrote it about 21 years ago, and it's AKA Treat People Right, Make More Money. Oddly enough, when we were doing the book, and the publisher came to me towards the tail end of the process, and he said, look, you're going to, I think, need to retitle the book. I said, why is that? He said, well, Carnation Foods, now owned by Nestle, has for like 80 years at the time on the side of their cans condensed milk, the expression from contented cows. I said, that's trademark, and you can't use it without their permission. So I said, let's change the title. I said, we can't change the title. It's playfully woven all the way through the book. So look, sport, you don't have the money to fight with Nestle, and I'm not going to jail for you. So I sulked for a couple of weeks and finally picked up the phone and called the headquarters of Nestle USA in Southern California, talked to the CEO's assistant. She said, you know what? She said, he's here today. Send me a letter, fax me a letter that tells me what you just said. I can at least make sure he gets it. And it'll be top of his mail basket, face up. I did. She did. A couple weeks later, the phone rings. I'm talking to some SVP of Nestle. He said, look, I've got to make sure that you're who you say you are, doing what you say you're doing. Send us the manuscript. Sure. Send it to him. A couple weeks more passed. Phone call and a letter both arriving pretty much the same day from Nestle that said, look, good luck. Godspeed. Have fun with it. No money, no lawyers, nice. No nothing. And if that doesn't restore your faith in, you know, in human God, I don't know what does.
Yeah. It's also a reminder that you just need to ask sometimes, right?
Persistence is worth something. And, you know, what's funny is that in every single speech and seminar that we've done over the last 21 years, we being my partner, Richard Haddon, and myself, we've told this story and publicly thanked Nestle. And had been doing that for about a year and a half. I come back from an engagement. I've got a voicemail from some SVP at Nestle. I thought, oh, God, who do we aggravate? And turns out it was their chief information officer. She'd pick up the book in an airport bookstore, read it, liked it, and wanted to hire one of us to speak for a meeting. I'm like, how nice. Good does this get?
That's awesome. So you talked about leveling up. Yeah. What's the risk if a leader just kind of stays with their status quo?
I don't see any way that we can do that as fast as things are moving today, as fast as the workforce is changing, particularly when we have a very tight labor market. That doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't. And oh, by the way, if all of us stay right where we are, we're not in a very good spot anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a critical shortage of good leadership in this country, and we're paying the price for it. You know, a lot of us are, you know, see the stock market rocking and rolling, and we say, oh, geez, things are really good. Well, that is good. But when you start digging into some of the numbers beneath that, that's not always the case. One of the things that I rail at pretty often is the level of productivity growth in this country, due in large part to the fact that we have a relatively disengaged workforce resulting from leadership that's not entirely where it needs to be. So we can ill afford to stay where we are. We've got to be on the hunt for better leaders. Not long ago, I was doing a guest lecture for a couple of university classes, business school classes, and there were about 80 students in the room. And first thing out of the chute, I asked them, you know, how many of you either are in a leadership role or aspire to one? And all 80 hands went up in the air.
Right.
And I said, you know, that's great. I mean, we need people to become leaders and become good ones, but some of you need to put your hands back down. At which point the two professors sitting in the back woke up and I get a really icy stare. I said, look, you know, let's tell the truth here. Not all of us are cut out to be a university professor, an MBA player, or a FedEx courier. Leadership is the same way. And not all of us are, you know, come equipped with some of the things that are pretty unteachable for becoming better leaders. So there needs to be some selective process there. But for the rest of us, we've also got to do a much better job of sharpening our axe along the way, because we're a step or two behind.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And you know what, Bill? I don't know if life is moving faster than it used to, but it definitely does feel that way. So how do you advocate that people do this?
You know, George, it's interesting. I get the chance to work every week with leaders at all levels of the spectrum, and you know, to include people who are in the first one or two levels of leadership and organizations. People, by the way, who have the hardest jobs anywhere, because they're not senior enough to call a timeout. Mm. They've got pressure from above and below. Mm-hmm. They haven't been given the best leadership education. Maybe we haven't fully vetted them. But there's some simple things that with a lot of them we try to work on to level them up a bit, because you look at the things that cause an awful lot of us to implode as leaders. One is we're not very good masters of our own time and priorities, and they go through their business day as if they're drinking through a fire hose all day long. It's mm-hmm. all incoming, and there's not a lot of consideration for what it is I need to get done today vis-a-vis my people or my professional responsibilities. So most of us could stand to work in that direction. How can I be a bit more intentional in my work life? Two, we need to have the courage to say no. I mean, in an awful lot of cases, being a leader is about saying no. No, that's not good enough. No, we're not going there. No, we're not going to put that on my plate, because if we do, something else is going to have to come off.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't keep doing that and work here, which is probably what the NFL should have told that Cleveland Browns player recently, who ripped an opponent's helmet off and then beat him with it.
Yeah.
So it's hard, but we've got to have the courage, the tenacity, oftentimes to say no, even to ourselves, to deny some of our own feelings when we get worked up about something and realize that maybe the workplace isn't the best place to vent that.
Yeah, I think that those are so important. And being able to, I mean, how important? Well, I think it's kind of a dumb question. Let me take a step back. I saw on your LinkedIn profile that you have listed your hits and your misses, and that struck me as pretty cool, because you talk about, hey, you're publicizing, these are things I messed up on. And so if we can be good masters of, hey, you know what, I feel like I wasted a lot of time, or I'm taking too much on, and I guess seeing our blind spots, that's probably key to all this.
Yeah. It is, and yeah, I've not seen anybody else who puts their mistakes on their LinkedIn page.
Right.
I do it, frankly, as a coach, and something that I talk with prospective coaching clients about is, you know, the difference between me and you, in a lot of cases, is I've been around the block a few more times and I've screwed up more stuff. So let's learn from that. So you don't have to get the same scars that I've gotten. Some of that emanates from my job at FedEx. The guy who hired me was a blunt-talking former FBI agent, supervising agent, from New York, no less. And before I started, I'd already agreed to take the job, and I'd given notice at my then-present job. And he called me up one day and he says, I forgot to tell you something. I'd like to be able to tell you in person. Would you be willing to fly down here to Memphis and have one more chat with him? That's kind of strange, but like, what are you going to say? No.
Right.
And so I did. And going to his office, he says, look, he says, I'm going to keep this real simple, because we've got a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, the company's been growing about 75% a year. And you're going to be involved in a lot of stuff, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes. In fact, if you're not making lots of mistakes on a regular basis, you're just not moving fast enough. But to me, there's two kinds of mistakes. There's the ones you make up here, and he pointed to his head, because I expect you to make those all day long. I mean, please don't repeat them, but make them. He said, then there's the ones you make down here, and he pointed to his heart. He said, the first one of those is going to get you gone. Any questions? I said, no, sir. He said, okay, come back to New York. We're done. I'll see you in a week. So that to me was permission to, you know, to go out, try stuff, make some decisions, learn from them, and keep moving. I think that that we would do well in today's workspace to bring a little bit more of that into play, because there's too many people walking around, you know, in fear of what if I make a mistake, to include a lot of supervisors and managers. And dang, if we didn't put them in the job for their judgment, what did we put them there for?
That's 100% right. So he was saying it's okay if you make technical mistakes, but if your heart is not in the right place, if you're not bringing forth the right effort, is that what I'm reading?
I think it was, George, it was more of if you're doing something that you know isn't the right thing to do. You know, and that was his message to me, and a message that I've tried to translate to people on my team all along, is that, you know, I will back you up on it. If you're doing what you genuinely believe to be the right thing and you're behaving lawfully, I've got your back. And getting your back means a lot sometimes. And I've had to go to the corporate woodshed and bleed to prove that at times. But if you're not doing what you believe is the right thing, that's probably going to be your ticket out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense. So is there a way to self-assess the wrong way? I'm thinking, I don't want to be too critical on myself. How do you strike that balance?
Wow.
I like to ask really big, open-ended questions, Bill.
Yeah, early in the morning.
Yes,
I don't have a psych degree. Yeah, you know, George. To me, I'll just tell you what works for me is, I think most of us, by the time we're about 6 or 7 years old, know the difference between right and wrong. Now, some of us we occasionally lose it, but we've got a pretty good idea. We know the difference between our stuff and somebody else's stuff. We know the difference between being kind and being mean.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be grounded in that. And frankly, that's something we got to be looking for when we're hiring somebody for a leadership role. Do they have a good sense of right and wrong and who they are? Do they display the courage to act on that no matter what?
And I think that that's 100% correct, and something that, as I'm listening, I'm thinking about people that I've known over the years that it's pretty clear that they never really developed that sense of right or wrong. And so, yes, being able to recognize that is so important. So I appreciate that. I also wanted to ask you one more thing. I saw that one of your mantras was work is contractual, effort is personal. I wanted to hear more about that.
Yeah. I believe that very strongly. We all realize that you can come to work in an awful lot of jobs, probably most jobs, and maybe not every day, but pretty much on a daily basis. I mean, you get to choose how much effort you put into things. And here again, if you look at the productivity growth stats for the U.S. over a long period of time, look at the last 20 years, you'll see that we've got a lot of folks who are, you know, powered back 10-20%, and there's probably a good reason for that in each and every one of their cases. But then there's also people who, you know, at their own initiative, go full throttle. And it makes such a huge difference. And the trick for us is to find the right mix of what causes that in each and every person. What gets them focused? What gets them fired up? In some cases, and this sounds crazy, but in some cases it's information. And, you know, you look around, we've got more communications gear and doodads and modes and methods than ever, but we do a poor job of making meaning with other people. One thing I do oftentimes with senior leaders, you get the C-suite of an organization in a room. Well, obviously everybody take out a sheet of paper. I said, I want you to write down your organization's top three priorities. Just three. Everybody makes their list. I gather them all up, walk over to the CEO, and I put them in front of him. It's usually him, face down. So I'll bet you $500 these are not all the same. No one has ever taken that bet. They didn't get to where they are by being an idiot. But my goodness, if the top 10 or 12 people in this company don't know what the heck the top three priorities are, how can the 4,000 people who aren't in this room who work for you possibly figure it out? We've got to get a lot better at making meaning, because people who lack information can't take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
People who have that information can't help but take responsibility. That to me is one of the first keys to discretionary effort is share the information.
Discretionary effort. That is a great term. I love it. Well, Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
ContentedCals.com. ContentedCals.com.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Bill your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to ContentedCals.com. Check out all the great stuff that Bill's got on the site. Thank you again, Bill.
My pleasure.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.